Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
And away we go.
Corner. Oh, bullseye! Fletcher McGee is not human!
There was a little bit of animation here from Coach Tom Izzo. Well, you his freshman, Aaron Henry.
Now, there were some things Aaron didn't do a very good job of. I get a kick out of you guys. Get after somebody because you're trying to hold them accountable. I don't know what kind of business you're in, but I'll tell you what, if I was the head of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable. It's the way it is.
Iowa's missed six of their last seven, and then a shot clock violation.
Odiasi gets it outside. Edwards with a three. Good! What a shot, Kyler Edwards, a freshman from Arlington, Texas.
He's our NCAA tournament insider. He is Simba Eli Hershkovich. Do you still have Auburn in the Final Four? Because I bet on them.
I do.
Okay, good.
I'm rolling with Auburn. Okay, don't hate on Bruce Pearl and the Tigers, guys.
Wow.
Okay, good.
Really?
And it's over! Anything can happen in March. Auburn is going to the Final Four.
Culver, the pump, the three. Here's a three. Good! Moretti, three. Good! He got another one!
Hey, is Nance calling the game?
Yes.
Can we sub Tony Romo in for coach?
It's Guy for the win. Hold on. Did I hear a whistle?
Wow.
We got a foul call.
Wow.
The Auburn fans thought it was over.
It's a killer.
Guy will be at the line for three. He got all three. Hudgens! Virginia is heading to its first ever national championship game appearance.
Oh, my God. If you're going to call it one way, call it the other.
Because it's very unusual.
Man, I really want to cry.
And guard, a 6'3 senior from Wakanda, Illinois.
In a one-shining moment.
And Virginia with the all-time turnaround title.
My dad said if I ever got to the Final Four, he'd come and play Augusta with me, so maybe you can get us on that course, all right?
I'll work on that one.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Chris Tannehill's one shining moment is the real one shining moment.
That's all you needed. You didn't need to stay with it last night after you gave away more money.
The crazy thing is, I won money this tournament. I just didn't win.
Oh, just last night, yeah.
I just didn't win enough. I had a ticket on Texas Tech and I had a ticket on Auburn. I actually won a little bit on my bets and I won my bracket. I had a good.
So why didn't you stick with it for the final one shining moment last night?
Because Tech would have been a two-run homer in terms of, like, that would have been a meaningful full new set of golf clubs, you know.
Okay.
Wager, woods and irons. And if Auburn
six of those, three of those.
Yeah, and if Auburn would have won, it would have been a full new set of golf clubs and a sizable chunk of our trip to Europe.
Yeah, like, you know what terrific. I mean?
There was real money on
almost,
the line.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, at least you came out ahead.
Yeah, a few $100.
Dilly bars. It's like a participation trophy.
Yeah.
When you've got this grand illusion of all these goods that are just going to be heaped in your lap. Let me tell you something. Get the golf clubs anyway.
I will.
Get them anyway. Nothing refreshes a man. It's like a low tee shot at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Listen, I'm going to buy the new clubs at some point, whether I do it before this season or at the end of the season when the price comes down a bit and try to play one more year with my clubs from 20 years ago. I don't know. But it just, it would have been nice. You know,
20 years ago.
The 20-year-old clubs, that's, man.
They're like the flip phones of golf clubs.
And I assume the technology
you have a persimmon's head on your three wood?
No, the woods are not woods, but it's pretty damn close. But yeah, you know, there's something better about money won than money earned.
I know. Believe me, I understand so, that.
Yeah, yep. It was just frustrating because it was a great tournament and it was a great game.
You won a little bit.
I did.
I lost $1,100 on the tournament.
That's true.
Showpot suffered a couple of dual moon pounding. Last year we had both finalists, so we were winners on Championship Monday regardless. This year, neither of our teams that we bet for the Showpot got to the title game.
And that is unfortunate, especially when we had two Final Four teams. Or, well, we had a Final Four team in the show pot, and I had two Final Four teams in terms of my bets. But I was thinking about, you know, the dangers of gambling. You can make you excited about a game that you have no interest in otherwise.
Right.
But
right.
If you have interest in it and the gambling supersedes the sports, that was a great championship game last night.
It was a COD tournament, and it was a terrific title game.
Yeah, it was compelling, rich, high-level play, great storylines. Virginia going from the first ever one seed to lose to a 16 seed, bringing back almost the entire team, getting a one seed again.
And they were on the ropes against the 16 seed again.
Yeah, right. They played a 16 seed close for a while. Then they were down, what? They were down 3 to Purdue with 3 seconds left,
mm-hmm.
down 2 to Auburn with 3 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
Tech goes to overtime in the title game. So the skin of your teeth wins, and that's a great classic run.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I wish it was Auburn or Tech that would have won because of gambling. That's
sure.
That's not the purity of a sports
fan.
No,
but that's, you're past that now. It's investment.
I know.
We were had a little baseball conversation with Lawrence, one of a handful of things we covered with him in our 10 minutes, 12 minutes we get with him. And somebody texted, Moncada, keep hitting. Have you checked out the last 10 to 12 at-bats? Yeah, Yoan Moncada just homered. The exit velocity of 108 miles an hour.
He looks good.
Yeah.
He's had a great start to the year. He's been one of the best offensive players in the American League. Can't ask for much more than that. It's been a great start, and it is really meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Eloy is obviously meaningful, but Eloy,
of course.
But you can write some of the Eloy stuff off as major league debut, big league pitching for the first time, all that stuff. This is when Moncada is supposed to take some lead.
You know, and the pressure's off Eli because what'd they really give up for him?
I mean, hopefully they gave up a lot. Hopefully Jose Quintana.
Did you see that one coming on a Tuesday?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
oof.
I'm the thing.
Let's do the positive.
You want to do positive?
Yeah, let's live in the aftermath of a 10-0 opening day victory before almost 40,000 happy patrons.
Well, it was awesome. Shep and I had a blast yesterday. At opening day, it was fun, and it felt as if it was a new season because of the weather and they played well.
Mm-hmm.
It felt totally new once the game started.
They're averaging 10 runs a game at Wrigley.
It's great. It's perfect. And they're giving up zero.
Unbeaten. They're perfect.
The bullpen
is not allowed a run at home all season.
No. The bullpen is striking out more than a batter per inning at home, having a lot of run at home. They're scoring 10 runs a game at home. It's been beautiful.
It's beautiful. All things are pointing up now. Do you feel that way?
No. What? No.
You didn't. It didn't press a reset button for you emotionally? You still think your team's on the ropes?
They're 4.5 games back in the division. John Lester is hurt. And
yeah, that's problematic for the short term.
For the short term. And
that's what he gets for playing baseball, you know it?
Joe Maddon said yesterday that that's not the time to talk about a universal DH. I would say that's exactly
perfect.
The time.
Yeah, it's, well, it confuses the arguments. It mixes them up. I thought about it. That was one of the first thoughts that popped into my head when he, you know, gets taken out.
But why does
sliding.
It confuse the argument?
I saw him get up very slowly before they went to the replay after Joe made his first visit yesterday afternoon. I saw when it happened that he didn't look comfortable. He got up real sluggishly.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Hayward checked on him. He was in the on deck circle, and then immediately there was Rizzo and there was Bryant, and he was grimacing, and then he tried to gut through it. He tried to pitch. He warmed up the next inning. He tried to go because he knows the situation the bullpen's in. So, I mean, Lester's a badass.
Right. It's the third inning. And I I tweak a hamstring sliding at the plate.
Oh,
with
pissed.
That bullpen.
I'll grind
my way through this. We got a better chance of me on one leg than those clowns.
Absolutely.
But the clowns responded.
The clowns did respond, but Lester also, he's got that, he's just that old school badass red ass where you challenge him.
I know.
They intentionally walk a guy in front of him. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're intentionally walking Hayward. I said Hayward was in the on-deck circle. He had scored ahead of Lester, so he was waiting for him at home plate. But, oh, you're going to walk a guy in front of me? Okay. I'm an athlete. Mm-hmm. I'm a baseball player. Mm-hmm. I'll slap this double the other way.
And, you know, in doing so, what he did?
Oh, he helped his own cause.
Sure did, Danny. He was helping his own cause.
It was beautiful.
Yep. Under the high skies of the north side.
And so in that moment, sure, it felt good. But I will be honest with you. I feel like the Cubs might be relying on John Lester a little too much.
He's providing both pitching and offense.
Well, they need to be able to overcome a John Lester pulled hamstring. The guy's 35 years old.
Madden told Lawrence today he'll miss at least one start, maybe two. Yeah, that's you hate it because it's April. You know, you had to figure at some point along the way, a 35-year-old dude, even though he isn't necessarily a power pitcher, is going to wind up on the unable-to-perform list.
Right. Well, this was Len Casper with Mully and Haw today, and I want to see if we agree with his premise as to just how valuable to this team this year 35-year-old John Lester really is.
Who is the indispensable player? Is it Javi Baez because of the position he plays? Chris Bryant because of the status he holds? Is it Anthony Rizzo because of his – who would you take as the most valuable Cub right now?
You know, as smart as you guys are, that might be the best question you've ever asked. I'm serious. I had never really contemplated this question. I think it's John Lester. I really do. And I think the answer has to be Lester because – you know, position player-wise, while if you lost an everyday player, it would definitely hurt, I think collectively you could make a very good case that it could still be a good offense. You can still catch the ball by, as I said, mixing and matching and plugging a hole and figuring that part out. I don't know how you replace John Lester. I really don't. And to get that consistent excellence every 5 days that they get out of him. And the fact, I mean, think about since 2015, guys, whenever the Cubs have played their biggest games, with everything else equal and with normal rest for everybody, who does Joe always pick to start? It's always John Lester.
Sure.
So to me, he's almost the obvious choice, and that's why his health is paramount for this team to get to where it needs to be.
The top of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan State, and more. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. I love Len. I think he makes the case well. But if the most important, valuable, irreplaceable player on the 2019 Cubs is a 35-year-old starting pitcher whose peripherals are slipping, they're screwed.
It can't be a starting pitcher of any age. I appreciate Lester's career, his value to the team, the leader he's becoming at his age, and the spirit with which he has performed two games and two innings into this season. But it has to be a guy who's out there every day. It has to be. And I would go with Chris Bryant. What happened to the Cubs last year without a good Chris Bryant?
Right, they won 95 games. But
you could make a good argument for Baez, too.
Yeah, I think Bryant is the best player on the team. I think he's the best talent. But Javi, with how he's been hitting, what he turned into, and then the defensive versatility of any infield position other than the first, obviously, gold glove caliber defense up the middle, I think you make a great Javi argument. Man, if you can't afford to lose John Lester, you're supposed to be kind of done with him. He's supposed to be at tail end of his contract. Darvish, Hendricks, Quintana.
Darvish was supposed to have emerged last year as the one, and he didn't, and there's no reason to believe he's going to this year, early returns.
Well, and at some point, age is going to catch up to John Lester, whether it's this year.
Yesterday afternoon.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my arm.
So that's coming really soon. whether it's this year, next year, or it was yesterday, they've got to be able to survive and thrive without John Lester. That you, I hope and believe that they're a good enough team to overcome John Lester tweaking his hamstring and missing a couple of starts. I have to believe that, because if they're not nearly as talented as I think
right.
they are.
Well, they've got problems. If the rest of the staff isn't going to get better, too, if the aforementioned Q isn't going to be better than he's been in his first couple starts. If
he's supposed to be more than a five-starter.
And they're calling Darvish a step after his second outing of the year. That's a real low bar, but I guess I understand the rationale. I kind of think it's spin control more than anything.
Well, it's not a step in the wrong direction. I wasn't, you know.
He
got in trouble after 12
still
outs.
Strike zone issues.
I know. It doesn't look good. It's been a very uncomfortable start to the season.
His velo's down considerably too, Danny.
I've yes, it's,
you yeah, like velo?
Spray charts,
I'm not velo. A fan of velo.
You're not a fan
not
of velo?
Not necessarily, no.
You go and full I'm, on velocity?
Maybe because I didn't come up with it, because I'm the one who likes to truncate words, you know?
Right, I figured it'd be right up your alley.
Suspension is a suspo. You know, yeah, it's velo. I'll try to get my arms around it.
I'll wait. I mean,
you like it?
I'm just worried about it. You know, if you're not going to get your arms around velo yet, it'll take some time.
See if I can find a way to bake it into the conversation whenever we're chopping it up.
You like it?
I like it.
Okay, it's going to be big.
Velo. What was his exit, velo? Really?
Hey, man.
Really?
The language of baseball is one that I will never 100% speak fluently.
Do you care to, though?
No. You just got to be sure that you get your point across and that you understand what people are talking about. It's the only thing that really matters, right? I understand what people are saying, but I don't need to use your weird language.
Man, fight at the bat rack over on the south side. The Rays are just running laps around this Sox staff.
Hey.
6-2 in the fourth.
Overs, man. I'm telling you, overs coming in.
I know.
Both sides of town.
Yeah.
Both sides of town.
Well, the Cubs are averaging 10 a game at home.
I get the same thing. Fergie Jenkins, when he's in studio at 3, this came up yesterday with Lester. He has started 31 games or more, 11 straight years. He's the only player in baseball to do it. Fergie Jenkins, the only current player in baseball to do it. Fergie Jenkins started 31 games or more. Also 11 times.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do it 15 seconds. You know, he had led the league in complete games 4 times
right.
and 20-game winner all those seasons and all that. So it's the Mr. Durability. I'm curious what Fergie thinks of Lester as a leader, as a starting pitcher, Lester as a throwback to what he was, and just how valuable is a 35-year-old to this team, because there actually are a lot of parallels between Fergie and Lester.
Yes, there are. I was refreshing myself on the career of Ferguson Arthur Jenkins earlier today, knowing we're having him in, and the first game I attended was Jenkins against Gibson, the great Bob Gibson of the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, that's kind of like Toby Maguire in the Cider House Rules, whose character Homer Wells lost his virginity to Charlize Theron. No pitching matchup after Jenkins and Gibson was ever going to be the same.
But it's a good start.
The year was 1968, and Jenkins won a lot of games in 68. He had 6 consecutive 20-win seasons in his career, and one of them was 68. But, you know, he also lost 5 1-0 games in 1968. 5 times he lost 1-0. Pitching just dominated. So the following year, 69, they decided to lower the mound to give these poor hitters a little bit of a break against guys like Gibson, Jenkins, Juan Marichal, et al.
The context of the era of which he played, and then he also came back to the Cubs. Yesterday they were honoring Lee Smith for making it into the Hall of Fame. He's there with 4 Cubs Hall of Famers singing the stretch mm-hmm. and throwing out first pitches. Fergie came back to the Cubs when Lee Smith was a rookie. So they crossed paths at the tail end of Fergie's career and the beginning of Smith's career. So he's a great storyteller. Love that he's coming in studio. We'll do that coming up at 3. And I had a problem with something in football. It's come up in baseball, and it's coming up in basketball. I thought last night was the perfect encapsulation for it. We'll see if you guys agree coming up on the Score.
The over and under on last night's game was 118 points. So they were predicting 60-58. And I think they beat the total by like 40 points or something like that. That would have been a good bet to make. Take the over on that. Who would have thought that we'd have seen such a beautifully played basketball game in addition to, you know, such a worthy champion as Virginia was.
Mike DeCourcy, college basketball writer for the Sporting News with Mully and Hoff. Fergie Jenkins will be in studio in 30 minutes. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Michigan State, and more. Season tickets on sale at nusports.com. So I want to talk about replay here for a minute because I assume most of you watched the title game last night. And it was a perfect example of what I'm talking about with unintended consequences from this reliance on technology, where I was pro replay. I still am pro replay, but now replay is allowing calls to be made that could never be made by a human being with the naked eye.
That's correct.
Right? We see it in baseball. Guy steals second. For a tenth of a millisecond, his leg is actually off the bag. Someone's holding the tag. He beats the throw. For the history of baseball, that guy's safe. But now with instant replay, we can see that for one half of one frame, he's off the bag, tags applied, he's out. We're going to see it with pass interference being reviewable even when it's not called. It'll be a judgment call that is now officiated off of video, not off of what you actually see on the field. Last night in the basketball game, guy hits the ball out of bounds. The Virginia player hits the ball out of bounds. But as the ball is revolving off, it looks to tap the bottom of a Texas Tech player's finger.
It absolutely did touch the finger.
And it did, right? So the ball was last touched by Tech. And so because it's the last 2 minutes, it's reviewable.
Sure.
But if there were 3 minutes left in the game, that's Tech ball.
That's correct.
If it's high school basketball where there's no instant replay, that's Tech ball.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing pickup ball with your friends, that's Tech ball.
Yeah, I don't know of anybody who has replay doing pickup games in a rec league.
Right, and like the guy who hits the ball, it's off him. He hit it out of the guy's hand. So for the history of basketball for forever, that's been off Virginia Tech ball. But then they go to the monitor, about 2.5 minutes of review. They Zapruder film it. They slow it down. Both teams go back to their benches.
Yeah.
Both, you know, they get to drink Gatorade and they get extra timeouts and it stops the flow of the game. And then it's Virginia ball. Even so, for 38 minutes of the game, that exact play happens. It's Virginia ball. Last 2 minutes of the game, it's Tech ball. Last 2 minutes of the game, it happens. It's Virginia ball. I personally think that if a call can't be made with a human being and it needs to be slowed down, it needs to go to a millisecond, I feel like we've gone from righting egregious wrongs, which everybody's on board with, to now we're making calls that human beings can't make off of technology.
You're right, but it's the right call, despite the fact that it comes down to Zapruder film examination. Everybody wants it right. They got it right last night. Now, you can make an argument against the rule if a player doesn't do anything to force the ball to go out of bounds. But that's a different topic. The topic of replay is about getting it right, and with technology being so damn good, it's not going to go away. It's time we accept this way of life as sports fans, that in the final 2 minutes of any meaningful game, it's going to take a lot longer than we want it to play it, and it's going to come down to a lot of calls that boil down to getting it right.
But does it make sense? Because I just try to think about it logically, and yes, I was on Texas Tech last night, so I was biased to wanting that to be Tech ball, but I'm here to say, of course, it was off Texas Tech. I agree with that. I'm just curious. Do we think that it's in the best interest of sports that for 38 minutes last night, that's called one way, and no one complains, by the way.
Yeah.
No one has a problem with it. Guy hits the ball out of bounds. It's out of bounds. It's off the guy who hit it. But the last 2 minutes, technically it actually grazed his fingernail, so it goes the other way.
I always have felt if it's wrong in the last two, it should be wrong in the first 38, or pick any way you want to cut up math for a different sport. But unless you give guys an opportunity to challenge, I don't know how else you change that. Give them challenges. They want to challenge that play 5 minutes into the first half? They have an opportunity to challenge it.
And they never.
And therefore, I mean, you don't have the 38-2 issue that you're upset about, and I understand why. If you give a college coach a challenge, then you don't have to worry about that. But I'm all for them stopping play to make sure it's done properly. It does disrupt the flow. It's not fun. Commercials and seven different looks at it. It's not as much fun as the game itself. I get it.
I think it's killed the end of basketball games.
Well, it's not going away, bud.
No, I know it's not going, but you say a challenge. There's no challenge in basketball.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a free flowing game. You can't have a challenge because if I brick a shot, then I get a rebound and then I come down the other floor.
Throw the beanie out on the court.
And so then the next stoppage, you got to go back three possessions. There can't be challenges in a game that doesn't have a stoppage after every possession.
What do you propose?
I honestly don't know what the fix is if that's the type of thing that's going to be reviewable. It doesn't make any sense to me. The basketball officiating reviews at this point have gotten to – we see ball, does it hit the rim, does it not hit the rim earlier in the tournament? We watch it from 100 angles. We don't really know for sure if it hits the rim.
Right.
It slows down the end of the game. We don't know if we got it right, and then we keep playing on. I don't know if it's possible to put the toothpaste back in the tube on this.
But I don't think it is.
But what if I just said no more replay in basketball? In basketball, there is no more replay.
Then you're going to have games decided by the possibility of human beings getting in the way of being imperfect, because we are, and championships will go back to being decided by mistake calls on occasion.
All right,
guys will blow calls.
Of course they will.
There should be a governing system for the officials of some type. What's perfect, I have no idea. But I'm all for them taking 2.5 minutes last night to make sure they gave the right team the ball.
Okay, and normally I don't have a problem with the timing of it if I had confidence that they were going to get it right. And last night, they got it right. But in the case of the shot clock violation, I don't know that they did. In the case of the interception in the AFC title game, I don't know if they did. So replay is not 100% conclusive. And I'd start with this in basketball. I would just narrow it. Was the foot on the three-point line or not? That should be able to be reviewed. Because that's the difference between 2 points and 3 points. Did a guy step out of bounds or not? That should be able to be reviewable. That makes sense to me. But the idea of, I can just ask you to go to the monitor, when for the whole game, that's off Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And they're asking you to go to the monitor because there are no challenges. So they're going to grant you to go to the monitor. Well, should I be able to ask the ref to go to the monitor if I'm out of timeouts and I just want there to be a stoppage and I want to be able to call my guys? I think that was off of him. Let's go review it. Now my guys get to catch their breath. They get to get a drink of water. We get to draw up a play. We get to strategize. It's ruined the end of basketball games in terms of flow. I think it's the worst in basketball than the other sports. But I feel the same way about the hovering over the base in baseball. And I think that's going to happen in pass interference in football.
It's made to feel even worse, too, because basketball already had the most difficult final few minutes compared to other sports.
With all the
because
timeouts.
Of stoppages and free throws and timeouts.
Intentional fouling.
Yeah.
I just
So it's just going to make it painfully long. And it's a matter of accepting that.
Okay.
I don't know what else to do. I mean, I don't – unless they're going to give guys opportunities to challenge, and you're still going to have those replays. We're victims of technology, Parksy.
We are, but we invent the technology, right?
They have the ability to choose what they deploy and what they don't.
And that's kind of the conversation I'm interested in. Is there a way to go back – and maybe the answer is no. I'm not saying I have a solution here, but – is there a way to rein in some of the technology to allow for, what is an acceptable
possession? That's got to be, like you say, a player stepping out of bounds. That's a possession call last night. That's
agreed.
Too important not to be reviewable.
But what is an acceptable cost, if you want to put that in a pro-con list, what is an acceptable cost of maybe something technically being gotten wrong for the pro benefit of flow of the game, lack of stoppages. If it's called one way for 38 minutes with the naked eye, it's not called differently in the last 2 minutes just because we have video. Like I feel like I'm willing, maybe other people disagree, but I'm willing to put up with that ball being tech ball because for the history of basketball, it's always tech ball. And okay, fine, technically it hit the guy's fingernail. I'm okay with that.
Is this the one thing that hockey does better than other sports? Because what's reviewable in hockey? You can go back and look if a guy was offside.
Offsides and goals, yeah.
And goals. Not whose stick did the puck deflect off of, and depending on where the drop of the puck is going to be. Now, ultimately,
yeah.
I mean, the possession doesn't matter as much in that.
Right. But hockey has some inherent advantages. The fewer stoppages, because anything out of play, it's a stoppage in play regardless,
right,
and
like
there's no possession rewarded
possession
to either
yeah.
team.
But it's so limited that, yeah, your big calls, Patrick Kane's goal against the Flyers is reviewed, like, and nothing else is. Like I
agree.
The flow of it, and it keeps the game flowing. The game that's based more importantly on flow than probably any other. Like it keeps it going, and like I think that's something that other sports can look at and use it as a model.
Parkins, I would argue the last 100 years of college basketball or whatever it's been have been on the wrong side of history. If that's the way it's gone for all those years, that doesn't make them right. The right call was made as a result of replay. The appropriate adjudication was made.
Okay, well, so but that means then that for 94% of the game, we're getting the calls wrong.
Potentially, yes.
Okay.
Potentially.
That seems like a stupid system.
Well, I'm not saying it's perfect.
Okay.
Fair. I don't know what you do with it. I think in the final 2 minutes, you've got to look at anything that's close.
So in baseball, when the guy steals second, and for a millisecond, his jersey is off the bag, even though he's over the bag and all that.
He's not making contact with the bag and the tag is applied, he's out.
So you're an absolutist with that, too?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not. I feel like for the history of baseball, that guy's safe. He beats the throw. He's on the bag. He's not doing a pop-up slide. It's not like his hand is off the bag.
Yeah, you got to keep contact with the bag.
Okay.
It's a base.
It's a base.
Any part of you comes off of it and they tag you, you out.
Okay. If we're gonna be absolutist with replay, though, we're gonna get to a point where we're reviewing everything. We're reviewing foul
we're
calls.
We're already there in the final 2 minutes of an NFL game. We're there already. The final 2 minutes last night just proved college basketball is there also.
Well, no, we're not reviewing penalties yet in the last 2 minutes.
That's coming.
But is that what we? That's what I'm asking. Is that what we want? Do we want to be absolutists with technology? We want to be refereeing off of slow motion, zoom in, one camera angle, one
right.
sky cam, one baseline.
NBC it has a better look.
That's what we want?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
All right.
I know.
That's not what I want. It seems ridiculous to me. But if apparently, and again, I like technology. I like replay. It just seems like we're going in the direction with the football thing, with reviewing judgment calls, with basketball, with the stolen bases. It feels like we're going to. Everything's reviewable, and I think that there is going to be a ton of unintended consequences there. People want to react to all the stuff we're talking about with John Lester's significance replay from last night. Fergie Jenkins in studio at 3 on the score. Fergie Jenkins in studio in 10 minutes. Great storyteller, legendary career, was at Cubs opening day yesterday. We'll bring him in studio in 10 minutes. People want to weigh in. I think we've gone too far in technology. I think for the history of basketball, when that ball gets hit off the tech player by the millisecond, by the Zapruder film, one frame, it'd be tech ball. They review it for a couple minutes last night. It goes to Virginia. It just seems like an unintended consequence of replay to me. And we've got it in baseball with right over a bag on a slide. We're going to have it in football with pass interference. And people say, hey, it's right. It was off tech. Okay.
Yes, it was. You've agreed. It was off tech.
It was off tech. And if it's that black and white, fine. I can't argue against it. I would say that there are consequences of being that black and white, whether it's to the enjoyment of the sport, the intention of the rule, the spirit of the rule, the flow of the game, extra timeouts, rest, all of that stuff, that I actually am willing for some imperfection in order to have flow of the game.
You have to be, because the enjoyment of the game has changed since replay became a part of it, and it's been a part of it now in pro sports for 30 years with the NFL, 30-plus years.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that Bears-Packers game, that Mikowski over-the-line game,
yeah,
which I think was the first or second year of replay, that was a replay game. And they got it wrong looking at the replay.
That's the thing.
Yeah, ask Chico that next time.
If you told me that they got it right 100% of the time, it'd be a different conversation. That's clearly not the case.
Yeah.
Earl in Cicero says, I've never watched basketball. What's up, Earl?
Hey, Parkins, come on. You watch the basketball game, the last 2 minutes takes an hour. There is no flow in the last 2 minutes. There's timeouts, there's fouls. That's part of the game. I'd rather have them get it right. And I'm all for it, and I can't wait till they put the electronic strike zone in baseball. I'm getting sick and tired of these umps. One guy's got one strike zone, the other's got another. That's not right.
Honestly, I'm for automated strike zone in baseball because it'll be uniform. Once they get that technology right, it'll be the same for everybody every game. I'm fine with that.
Well, basketball, though, I like this. I like the getting it right, especially big game like
you've already
night.
Been right, Earl. I think you feel like I do. You've already been waiting. You know, you're going to wait through the last 2 minutes anyway. You might as well get the damn calls right.
You got it. The Big Mac, you got it.
Thanks, Earl. Earl.
You know a sport that's great with replay? Tennis. You ever watched a tennis match?
No, not since they went to replay.
It's amazing. They just have the whole court digitized.
Mm-hmm.
They can do it instantaneously.
Yeah.
And you can't complain about it. Was the ball in or out?
No, you can. It's just who do you complain to?
Right. Was it on the line? Was it not on the line?
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. Let's go to Tony in Rockford. Tony, you're on the score.
Hey, Danny Mac. You know, Parkins, your original argument was you said you don't want calls that can't be determined by the naked eye. There have been so many calls that have not been determined by the naked eye to be wrong. The Saints playoff game. The Cardinals in the 85 World Series when Don Dinger missed by a foot, a step and a half. You're going to get naked eye calls missed. You might as well get them right.
Yeah, but see, okay, so use the Dinger example. That is one where an egregious wrong would be righted quickly with replay, safe
but
or out.
Missed, but you said it shouldn't. A call shouldn't be determined by something that wasn't originally caught by the naked eye.
I'm saying, no, that can't be called with the naked eye. Like, plenty of people could have made that call correct that Don Dinger made incorrect. Last night, nobody watching in real time would call that ball off tech. You need to be able to slow it down.
I don't know about nobody. I'm not so sure about nobody. Somebody might have seen it graze. It did. It was just a graze. It was an ever so slight possession. But
maybe.
That's what it was.
Tony, I appreciate the
call. Thank you, Tony.
Fergie Jenkins, Mac, first baseball pitcher you ever watched. You were a Billy Williams kid.
We are in the presence of greatness, man. There is a Hall of Famer just feet away from us.
A Cy Young winner, over 3,000 strikeouts. He led his league in complete games four separate times. Fergie Jenkins in studio with Mac and Parkins next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.